I'd like for us tonight to look in the book of Exodus,
chapter 14. The book of Exodus, chapter 14. Yes, Ruby would be here, but she was all ready to come, and her back had another one of those spasms or something, and she said, "I don't think I should go." So she's sitting with the heating pad on her back. The doctor has diagnosed this as being a chronic condition. Has to do with one of the itises, bursitis, arthritis, or some kind of itis. She loves to come to the meeting, and she would be here if she could. Remember us in your prayer. I'd like for us to read this passage, and I trust that we will glean something from it for our own personal benefit. I was making mention this morning, someone asked me how long had I been aware that reading the scriptures was and has been an ongoing problem with God's people for a long time. I said, well, maybe I had, but I don't think I had thought about it in the way that I'd been thinking about it recently, because I'd heard some things. Some polls have been taken. There's not a shortage of Bible. The Word of God is there, and in most homes, you will find a Bible. The problem is nobody's reading the Bible. Don't read the Bible. Talk about the Bible. Talk about what's in the Bible. Sometimes claim that I don't know much about the Bible. But certainly among God's people, I think there's something that we could focus on personally. And that is that I'll make a real effort to have God speak to me every day through His Word. And that's the way He speaks to us. Some people have the idea that God only speaks to us through circumstances. Oh, no. You want to really hear His voice, you have to read His Word. He will speak to you. And it's wonderful for us to recognize and to obey what we know to be the truth. Let's read from verse 1 of chapter 14, Exodus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal-zebon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? He made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. The children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihahiroth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And a pillar of cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. It was a cloud and darkness to them, but it were gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And he took off the chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the land of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And shall we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this Lord's Day, this very pleasant day. We thank Thee, our great God, for allowing us to assemble together as a group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have open Bibles, that we still have eyes that can read and minds that can think, and that we can read and take in what is before us. This is the word of the true and the living God. Use it, we pray thee, to impress upon our hearts so many things concerning thyself, that you stand over and above all others that would rule, all others that would seek to have authority over the sons of men. Sovereignly, our God is over all. We praise thee and thank thee this day for your blessing upon us. Pray for those that are not able to be with us this evening. Bless them, we pray thee, and heal and give comfort to their hearts. Bless us again, we pray thee, with a sense of their presence with us. May we hear the voice of God. In the name and for the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. This is certainly a stirring passage. It's not new to any of us. We've read it many times. Hope you read it many more times. You know, sometimes we get the impression, I remember the first time I read the scriptures through, I said, well, kind of relax, man, take it easy. I've done it. That was a long time ago. I really had set out to read the scriptures through twice in 1 year. We did good for a while, but then, you know, things happened. So it was, I think, October or November before I had finished reading it through for that year. But that's a poor attitude toward the value that we receive from reading the Word of God. Well, I've read it. Yeah, you've read it. Do you understand what you have read? Some of it. Are you willing to keep trying? Are you willing to let your soul, your mind, your being be open and receptive to the truth of God? You know, I get the impression sometimes that people resist understanding what God says in His Word. I don't know. I've never had an argument with God about what He has said in His Word, but I get the impression that some people really would argue with God. That don't seem right. That's not the way I thought it was. You remember the leper that went to Elijah and he wanted to get healed? You remember him? That Syrian captain? I thought, I'll tell you what, if you allow the Spirit of God again to control and give the enlightenment that we need, we'll understand. And it is. It's a blessed, blessed experience to have the truth of God revealed to your heart. And I don't know, as we grew up as children and we learned how to read, and I remember some things when I learned how to read, and every day I'd come home from school and my mama would say, read to me, son, read to me. And I would read to her. Oh, that's good. I'm so glad that you can read. You keep learning. You keep working. You keep doing good work in school. Oh, would to God we would apply that to what we read in God's Word. We couldn't read anything any better. And it has such a tremendous value for each one of us. You take a passage like this, you say, this is an experience in the life of the children of Israel. This is an account of them and their deliverance out of Egypt. This is an account of God working to deal with a real problem they had, a Pharaoh problem. I tell you, they didn't know how to deal with it. They were powerless to do anything about it. But He knew how to deal with it. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. That's in the Word of God. We have to confess sometimes. Lord, I can't handle this. It's over and beyond me. You will have to take charge. Well, He should be in charge all the time, shouldn't He? Yes. he should always be in control by his spirit. Well, in this account, I think there are some things that might help us. Again, I say this. I've said it before, and I think it's worth saying again. So often, God's people have the understanding that perhaps getting saved, it will result in me having all of my problems solved. I know just this week I was talking to a brother, and he said, you know, that's exactly what I thought. I did. Oh, I thought when I got saved, brother, clear sailing. And he said, was I ever fooled? And then we both agreed. No, you might be able to say this and say it and it have true meaning. Sometimes that's just when the trouble starts. Because things come up and there are things to deal with. Things that you never would have noticed before. Problems that you never recognized as a problem before. But God is my helper. God is the one that wants to control my life. After all, I belong to Him. Well, you wouldn't dare say that the children of Israel were in a very desirable position. They were in a desperate position. All of the hallelujah, praise the Lord, we're out of Egypt. Didn't last very long, did it? Not very long. Seems like the dust had hardly settled as they arrived there at the brink of the Red Sea. And a discovery is made. Pharaoh has changed his mind. How do they know that? Well, they had scouts, no doubt. They were people that were observant, and they could see maybe a cloud of dust off in the distance. What meaneth that? Well, Pharaoh and his horsemen with his chariots, they're coming, and they're going to undo what you thought was deliverance out of bondage in Egypt. You catch that when they said the Egyptians made that comment. What in the world have we done? We've turned all these Israelites loose. They were our servants. They were serving us. Isn't it amazing at how quickly they forgot what God used to deliver them out of Egypt? The plagues? The death of the firstborn? Didn't take long for them to recover from all of that. We've got to have them back. They are essential to our economy. And after all, my wife told me yesterday, you're going to have to start washing dishes. Because we don't have any servants in the household anymore. We're going to have to do all those things that they were doing. That'll get your attention, won't it? Yes, we need those Egyptians. The Egyptians were saying, we need those Israelites back here. It was creating a problem. But you know what? God sovereignly was working in all of that, and it was working again. Like Jacob of old said, all these things are working against us. No, it's working for the glory of God. Pharaoh had a problem. He didn't recognize God for who he was. He is defying God. He didn't change his mind. I'm Pharaoh, a mighty ruler. I'll do what I please. And I'm going to keep these people. I'm going to keep them in this condition. These things that have happened, well, we'll cope with that. We'll deal with that. But we need them back, and we're going to have them back. Children of Israel certainly would have had to look around at the circumstances and say, we're trapped. They're coming. They have changed their plans regarding letting us go. They come in for a purpose, and no lack of understanding of what it's all about. They want us back. And we're going to have to go back.
True.
We can't resist them. Does that sound strange? We can't resist them. You don't have to resist them. God is on our side. You see, Moses said something, and it's so important. He says unto the people, fear not. Fear not. Stand still. Stand still. Get a grip on yourself. Stop acting like a fool. Who do you think it was that delivered us out of Egypt? What's the matter with you people? Wake up. Wake up. God is on our side. See the salvation of the Lord. How did you get out here? How did you get here? How did we get where we are today? Think of the progress that we've made in the course of our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Reflect back. Well, you say, it's a long time ago that I remember I was bound. Satan was exercising his power and control over my life, but it was broken. It was broken at that point in time. And someone said that I know has the power. And that was God. And that was the person of the Son of God. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be there for you in all the circumstances of life. It's embarrassing to confess it, but sometimes we forgot that, didn't we? I forgot it. God is with me. God is on my side. What have I got to fear? Omnipotent power. It's on my side. Pharaoh is so puny, he's so insignificant in the light of the sovereign God that was on the side of the Israelite. Yet they are overcome with a sense of desperation. You see, the enemy. And you're beginning to think about what's going to happen. Well, they needed a leader, that's for sure. And Moses was a good leader. I think he was a man with a single eye for God and the help that he had provided. He had a unique experience in dealing with the Lord and the Lord putting his hand upon him, using him in the way that he used him. So he had a real jump on all of those Israelites as far as knowing that God was powerful, that he was real, and that he was there for them. And we sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll lose sight of that. Why am I thinking this way about this situation? You know, the Scripture says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You see, we sometimes fall back upon trusting the flesh. What am I going to do about this? Ask this question. What's God going to do about it? Lord, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? Is this my problem or is this your problem? Are you expecting me? You expecting me to handle this? At least the children of Israel had that one right, didn't they? How are you going to handle this? No. I'm desperate. Should we ever be desperate like that? Should we ever forget that God is there for us? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, I love you. You're special to me. You're so special to me. I paid a price for you to redeem you and make you one of my own. I paid a price. I redeemed you back. Do you think I'm going to abandon you now? Well, let's call it a temporary setback for them. They forgot. Moses was there to help them. this man of God. Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. Well, at least that gave them some hope out of all this despair. Today, not tomorrow. They're coming, and it's real, and we know what their mission is. But today, you're going to see the hand of God work like you've never seen it before. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you'll see them again no more forever. Boy, there's a note of finality about that. Hey, this foe, this very formidable foe that I'm no match for, God says that he's going to deal with them today. Do you think they knew what was going to happen? Do you think that they knew that Moses would take that rod and that sea would part? Do you think they knew that? I don't. I don't think they knew that. But God knew. God knew. Do you think that Moses looked around when the Lord said, take your rod and go part? You think Moses thought? No, Moses had used that rod before. Out of his own experience with God. And brothers and sisters, that's the way it works with us. If you've ever had him work in your life, I say this. If you never have a definitive answer to any of your prayers, you won't believe in prayer. Man, he's got to act on your behalf. You've got to see him work. And he will. He will. He will. And faith will be strengthened. And you will begin to believe more and more about the greatness of your God. You'll treat him just like he is God. He is God. He's all powerful. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He knows all. He's omnipresent. He's always with me. He never abandons me. Well, this is what is being brought to the surface in the children of Israel dealing with their God. They needed Moses. There's no question about that. And aren't you thankful that we have those among us sometimes that shake us a little bit and say, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I've been down this road before. He is able. He is able. He will sustain you. He will keep you. He'll make you more than a conqueror. Because he is God. And he's all powerful. What do you say? This whole scene is so dramatic. I have no question in my mind. Cecil D. DeMille, when he made that movie about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea, that man had some judgment. That man had some sense of, man, you can take this and you can really make a movie. And you know, they have drawn many times from what is in Scripture to make movies. And people are impressed by what they see. The only thing I can say is, I hope they are accurate in what they portray for us on the screen. But I don't have to worry about that. All I have to do is read the scriptures. You know, the director and the people that produced the movie, he might get mixed up in his thinking about exactly what's on the page of the scripture, but I don't, and you won't if you read the scriptures, and I have seen them. I think it was in that movie, Mel Gibson, The Passion of Christ. Heard people say, you know, I recognize many, many things that were so accurate as far as the scriptures are concerned, but there were some things that I didn't. I checked the scriptures real closely. He was off. He was off to some extent. And indeed, I'm so thankful that I knew what the scripture said. Well, in this case, they had Moses, and Moses was there for them.
I think it's when we are, you know, we use the word scared. People don't like to say that. I was scared. You know, we like to be macho and say, I'm not afraid of anything. Oh, you're not? Not afraid of anything? Well, the children of Israel were scared. And when you're frightened like that, it's always good to remember what God has said, and that's what Moses was there for. He reminded them that the power of God and His promises. And when you start with that 16th verse, but lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on the dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now, they hadn't seen him lift up his hand. I don't think they knew what was going to happen. But they were going to witness a mighty moving of the hand of God. And I don't like to try to dramatize this to the point that we're going to see something like that. But I'll tell you what, to us it can be just as meaningful. When God comes in and acts on our behalf, and then when you reflect back on it and you say, Lord, forgive me. I was really in the dark, but now I see. You were working all the while behind the scenes. When Moses lifted up that rod, and that's what he was told to do, and he had hardened the hearts of the Egyptians. Didn't make them change their mind and go back. No, I'm going to deal with them too. I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. You won't see them anymore. He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh's doubts and all that he had ever had in that little mind of his about his power, the power of his gods, which many, he had many. He's going to find out that there was one true living God. And he has all power. And when he acts, indeed what he does is very spectacular. So here we have before us a fulfillment of what we'll call a very dramatic promise. Made to God, made by God to the children of Israel. God was going to help them all the time. They were in a tight spot. They looked upon themselves as just being helpless. Should we ever feel that way? What can I do? What can I do? Call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord. He says, call upon me. How many times do you read that in Scripture? In the Psalms, it's many times. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I'll hear you. I will rescue you. And you will glorify me. Of course, you're going to read through the book of Exodus. I know that you're going to discover the lessons they learned there. They were very meaningful. No doubt they carried this with them throughout their whole experience in the desert. But you know, there would be times when they would lapse in their faith and their trust in God, and they'd forget all about this. Have you ever done that? You ever forgot how great your God is? Most of us would say, yes, I have. I've had experiences in which I felt like, well, this is it. This is it. I'm really at the end of the road. I'm at my wit's end. Yeah, you may be, and that's a good place to be. Turn your face toward heaven. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into His wonderful face, His glorious face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. You see, it's so easy to get your attention focused upon the things that are around you And maybe your own condition of heart, you'll be so weak in your spiritual perception of how great your God is that you lapse into a condition of heart that you forget all about how powerful our God really is. He's never more powerful than when he acts in his love. He commended his love toward us in it while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, he's a mighty God. I don't want to lapse into a condition of heart and mind that I'm trusting and having confidence in my own understanding. I'm trusting in him. And he directs our pathway. He has placed our feet upon that pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. We honor God by trusting him. Stop crying and go forward. I don't know that Moses said that, but I thought that's pretty good. Stop your moaning, your crying. We're going forward. God has directed. The rod goes up, the sea parts, the children of Israel go through. It didn't take you but just a minute or two to say that. Yes, it may take you a whole lot longer to come to grips with it. Some people are still doubting it. I believe it. I believe those waters. Wall of water on either side. The Egyptians went through on dry ground. What are you going to do about Pharaoh? Well, hold your peace just for a moment. I'll show you. He and all those horsemen. Got to go get them. Go get them. Sick them. Bring them back. That wasn't a very good decision, was it? In that sea, suddenly things began to happen. Those old chariots and the iron wheels began to find out that they were getting stuck. Getting stuck out there in the middle of the sea. That's a bad place to get stuck. Ask me. One day I was down on the beach, and I'd been driving out on the beach, and I went into some sand, and the tide was coming in. And you know, pretty soon, that tide, that water was right here, and my car was right here. The guy said, I come by and say, hey, buddy, you got a problem? Yes, sir, I sure have. The water's coming in, and I'm stuck. He said, didn't you know the tide was coming in? No, sir, I didn't. I don't live down here. I didn't know the tide tables. He just put a thing on his truck, and he pulled me right out of there. I was delivered. Was delivered. But nothing like that's going to happen for Pharaoh. There's nobody to help him. Because he doesn't believe in the true and the living God. And you remember this. These poor people on the face of this earth that do not believe in our God and trust and faith in him, brother, they're stuck. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. And you and I may be so distressed that sometimes we can't get their attention. Hey, man, come back, come back. The tide's coming in. You're stuck. You're going to perish. And you know, we just shake our heads and say, oh, would to God they could get their eyes open. They're doomed. Thank God Moses was there to help them. He was there to help them to see where the true power of God would be directed, how it would take care of rescuing them out of the hands of Pharaoh and showing them how God would deal in power with all of their enemies. He'd do the same thing for us. We just have to trust him. I'm going to go forward. Lose heart? No, we're not going to lose heart. We're not going to lose heart. We trust in him. And he is able. He is able. Oh, God, give us that assurance that we need in our heart. Paul says, I am persuaded that the one that I have trusted, the one that I have put myself in his hands, He's able to deliver me safely on those heavenly shores. Well, he's coming again. He's coming again. And that's in power. This world has never seen anything like that before. I haven't seen anything like that before. You haven't seen anything like that before. But we will. We'll be here and go with him, or we will come with him to receive all of you that are left. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee again and praise thee that we have before us an account in the Word of God in which you delivered your people. Oh, you always have, Lord. You've always been there for us when we needed you, and even when we didn't know you were there. Oh, Lord, you were there all the time. So do strike home to our hearts and our lack of faith the wonderful truth that we need not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And help us, Lord, to trust you in these days in which we live until we see thee face to face. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I know.